You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Another big week in the world of golf coming up. We've got an event in Australia, the Perth International, and we move from west to east on the US tour with the Honda Classic this week. Dave Kalner here alongside Mr. Mike Grenham. Mike, good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Dave Kalner.
And Mr. Dave Tindall is with us as well. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Hello, Mr. Dave.
Bubba Watson winning last. Well, let's get straight stuck into it. Bubba Watson winning the Northern Trust Open last week, Mike. I listened to the podcast. I fully anticipated you were going to select Bubba Watson last week when I was listening, and I was amazed when you didn't. He's turning into a real, I mean, top five in the world player.
Well, I've been saying that for a bit, to be fair. I think he is a top four, stroke five player, isn't he? And yeah, one that got away a little bit last week, but only myself to blame. He got cut in the betting just before we did the podcast, and that put me off for some reason.
That influenced you?
Yeah.
What was he, 12s or something?
No, he was a lot bigger than
22.
That.
22.
Oh, no.
So,
do you look at the betting, Dave?
I forgot he had Spieth and McIlroy in the field as well.
Yeah, they were, which made the market a bit. Yeah. He was. He won at the course before, so you have to be on Bubba at places where he's won. He's just... We debated this actually yesterday, DK, didn't we? That he's been overpriced a lot in these sort of events in the past. Probably isn't going to be overpriced for much longer. People are realising, how many wins has he got in the last couple of years?
He's won 9 times since 2010 on the PGA Tour.
That wasn't there. He was like the third most.
He's the second most behind McIlroy in terms of PGA Tour wins since 2010.
Right.
Ahead of everyone else.
Yeah. So I was properly kicking myself on Sunday night because I did Jordan Spieth, who had a reasonably poor first round.
I think he was playing with my clubs.
I could have beat him. I really do.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it? Really?
I used some swear words on Thursday night.
Vijay gets beaten by 16 shots in round one.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, I should have thrown Bubba in as well, but you know, that happens all the time, doesn't it, in golf betting? But Bubba should have been back last week. Because he's great at courses where he plays well at the same courses, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He'll go really well in the Masters, I think.
Mm. And maybe doesn't get the respect he deserves.
Well, definitely not.
When you compare him to the others at the top of the game. I think that's got a lot to do with his demeanour on the golf course. I really do think that influences the betting.
A tiny thing that put me off last week, Dave, I think I mentioned it on the podcast, it was just Phoenix, he went mental, didn't he? Just almost like he didn't want to win and annoying everyone and getting booed, and it just all fell to pieces. And he should have... That's a course that he should play really well at. Then he missed the cut of Pebble. So there was a little bit of a doubt of his mental state, which you don't have with some of the other top players, do you? It is a little factor with Bubba, but when he's right, he's almost as good as any of them. Maybe not quite in the top one or two, but he's very close, isn't he?
Definitely.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I do think so.
And that last hole at Riviera, that should be a brute of a par four, and he's going in with a 9-iron for his second. I mean,
he played incredible golf down the stretch. I know Jason Kokrak made that bogey on 15, which allowed Bubba Watson back in, but his swing on 16 was perfect, set up that birdie on the par three, took apart the par five 17th. His driving was wonderful. It was a joy to watch, actually. Closed that tournament down so well.
Yeah.
Bubba Watson. Frustrating, weren't on him last week.
It was frustrating. I was really frustrated. I was kicking myself, but these things happen. But that's the thing. I think maybe that won't go on much longer. People are going to make him shorter for these type of events in future, aren't they? Surely they're not going to underrate him forever.
No.
He's 14s for the Masters. There are worse bets around than that for a two-time winner there.
I agree.
Really,
2 times last 4 years, one in alternate years as well. So everything sets up well,
That was a pattern at Riviera, wasn't it? He'd won it, had a bad year, and then he won it again. It's like he
doesn't seem to defend that well, does he?
As defending champ, but do.
Put back him the next year. Mm. Whether the commotion of defending and all that distracts him, I don't know. But 14-1, that's
fair, isn't it? Definitely.
I think.
Yeah. Marcus Fraser was the winner on the European Tour in the Malaysian Open. He'd done absolutely nothing during the Desert Swing, but scrambled like a demon, Dave, to take that title last week.
He did. There was actually a quote saying that's the worst three weeks of golf I've ever played on the Desert Swing, and then he comes out and, like you say, it's all a bit short game, smoke and mirrors, wasn't it, I think, but fair play to him. It was a big price, wasn't he, 175s or something like that? Yeah, he's the kind of player who, I sort of have him down as he might scrape a tied fifth, but I never really like him to win. I mean, there's a long, was it 5 years?
5 years, yeah, since between the previous wins.
But he got it done, and obviously it helped, didn't it? They had the young guy, Soo Min Kim, who was kind of
nervous
and a bit out of his depth. So he just hadn't got the experience to know what to do in that situation, and it showed at the end.
Let's get stuck into this week then. We'll start with the co-sanctioned European Tour events, the ISPS Handa Perth International. And betting here with William Hill sees Louis Oosthuizen the 10-1 favourite. Victor Dubuisson is 14-1. Torbjörn Olesen in the betting at 18s. Brett Rumford is 20-1. Mikko Ilonen at 28-1. Lucas Gerigard and Marcus Fraser both 30s, 33-1 and bigger the rest. And Dave, there's been a change in the schedule with this event, having previously been held in October. It's now moved to a slot in February. The good news is there's some course form to go on here, because Lake Karinyup has hosted the event in 2012, 2013 and 2014. Lake Karinyup.
Yes.
You got the late bit right.
Yeah, Lake Karinyup.
Well done on that.
It looked better than I could do.
Yes. It also stays the Perth, the Johnny Walker, didn't it?
Yes.
2002 and 3, which sort of has led me to my bet in a funny way.
It's a good course as well, isn't it? A lot of what I've read about the golf course suggests it's one of the best courses in Australia.
Yeah. Ernie Els took it apart when he won it in 2003. He shot some ridiculous score, and they've remodelled it after that. So it's a tougher test than it was. We've had a couple of good winners there in the 3 years. It was a slightly funny. It was the event before the final series, so it was a bit of a, you know, players are scrambling for cards and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think this week it's a more kind of, I think it's more of a week where you'll see a proper winner emerge.
Mm. What type of characteristics did you two look for?
Someone who plays well in the wind, someone who scrambles well.
Yeah,
good iron player.
Kind of venue, maybe. Yeah. Fast and firm golf course. Typical Australian conditions, really, in many ways. I've gone for a real... I've actually got a pick in this event for the first time on the European Tour this year.
I've been on to you to complain.
And I've gone for a real rag. I'll let you lead us off then, Dave, if you think there's going
How
to be a fancied
have you
winner.
Got, Dave?
Just the one.
All right.
And it's
Mike?
None for me.
Oh, come on, Mike. Mine's very, very obvious, but it contrasts with yours, David, so there you go. It's right at the front of the betting, Louis Oosthuizen. In my head, I just said if he's a double-figure price here, I'm going to back him, and he is 10-1 just in there.
Yeah.
You look at the three previous winners of this event. Goosen and Els won when it was the Johnny Walker at Lake Karinyup. Gary Player even won the Australian Open there. I think it would have been in the 70s as well. It's not just kind of random that. It's kind of the South Africans, I think, as you said, hard, bouncy, firm course, wind. It's all good stuff for South Africans who play very well in the links. Obviously, Oosthuizen is a classic links player, and he won the Open 2010 at St Andrews. A very windy renewal this year at St Andrews. He lost in the playoff. So basically all I needed to know was, is his current form good enough and is he healthy enough? Some quotes recently where he said his health is, you know, best as it's been in a while. And in terms of recent form, he was tied seventh in Qatar after leading after day one. And then in Malaysia last week, where some of the big names didn't do too well, he was tied 12th, finished with a 66 in round four, so he can sort of slingshot off that maybe into this week. I don't think it's a very good field, to be honest. You look at some of Dubuisson hasn't played in ages. Olesen's playing quite nicely, but then it just starts to sort of thin out pretty terribly, to be honest. The only other little thing with him is his first event in Australia, but that doesn't worry me because I think it's a good fit. And you look at some of these previous Aussie events, you've had people like Van Pelt and Duffner just sort of go there and look a class above. I think that's going to be the case this week. So 10-1. I think he can definitely win this, but I think it's also give you a bit of each way leeway.
Good stuff. Louis Toosen at 10-1 for Dave. I'm going with Stephen Dartnell at a massive price here, 150-1.
Throwing a dart at Dartnell.
I am throwing a dart at Dartnell, precisely, at 150s. He hasn't really made the impact on the game that many anticipated. He was actually a former world number one as an amateur back in the...
I was going to say, I don't remember that.
Back in the, back in the mid-noughties, yeah, precisely. Just throwing you a curveball.
Not Tiger off the top.
that difficult time when it was kind of Westwood and Donovan and Dartnell and there.
Yeah. And he's now playing his trade on the One Asia Tour and the Australian Tour, so it's not quite worked out for Stephen Dartnell. He was born and lives in Perth, though, which is a positive, I think, with this event obviously being in Perth this week. Got plenty of experience on the course, and it's shown in three starts here. Finished 39th in 2012, 50th in 2013, finished fourth last year, and that fourth place finish was one of his best finishes on tour. However, even though he's never won an event in Australia, he's played some good golf in some premium events down under. You look at his form in the Australian Open, he's got two top 15s in that event, two top 15s in the Australian PGA Championship as well, and a couple of weeks ago had a fifth place finish on the tour, on the Australian Tour. And this is obviously a step up in class slightly for him, even though it's still a low grade event, but I thought he was worth a play at 150-1. So he's my selection.
Very good.
Good.
Any honourable mentions here? Any others you like the look of, Dave, at all?
Brett Rumford's the obvious one, isn't he? He's an Aussie. He's from Perth as well. He won the Western Australia PGA just before Christmas or November time.
Yep.
And he's played nicely in recent events, so I think he'll go well, but 20-1 is more than reflects that, doesn't it? I think don't want to be backing him at that price.
No,
he'd want 33s or something, I think.
I like 33s on PTU line. I
was going to mention, yeah, you could have asked.
Sorry, I do apologise. Go
just
on,
just ask it. Don't ask. And funny enough, he was the one I was just about to say. Because he just looks like he's coming back, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's got a few injury niggles, hasn't he? But you're right, he does. And he's got form here.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. What was he? Ninth last year or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm with you. You took the words out of my mouth, Dave. The other one I looked at, he's a bit short at 40s, Paul Dunne. He's a pretty good links player, isn't he? I think, as he's shown.
Yeah, he played really well, didn't he, at Torrey Pines as well.
But a bit 40s is a bit short, even in this field, I think, for him. Yeah, you and I'll be watching, because if he starts to show some good form, he can compete at the highest level, I think. He's not quite there yet.
James Morrison I quite liked as well. He's 40-1. He finished 15th in Malaysia last week. He'll love conditions, fourth here in 2014. And just one more, just quickly want to mention, I'm not sure what price he is, 40-1, a bit short for a guy that doesn't win, but Richard Bland. I think he's showing solid form, and I think he'll go well this week as well, but 40-1, I can kind of leave him.
Yeah, one final one, Andrew Johnson, who played really well in Qatar. I thought not too bad at 80s.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought he was strong in Qatar as well. They showed him on the coverage quite a lot in Qatar, and he wasn't shirking away from the issue, was he? That's the ISPS Hander Perth International, and Louis Toosen, the 10-1 favourite. Two selections for myself and Dave. I'm going with Stephen Dartnell, 150s, and Dave going with Louis Toosen at 10-1. Okay, let's move on to this week's PGA Tour event, which is of course the Honda Classic, and Rory McIlroy is the 11-2 favourite to win the event. Ricky Fowler in the market at 12-1. Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama both 18s. Patrick Reed and Phil Mickelson both 20s. Brandon Grace is 30-1, and it's bigger prices the remainder. We're going from west to east, and that's good news, Mike, because we get to watch all this golf. It doesn't start as late on television.
That's true.
Which is nice.
I'm just reading on PGAtour.com, Dave, that there's only one event west of Texas for the whole of the rest of the year, the Barracuda. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. When you think you've got that west coast swing, you'd expect some events later on in the year to return
none
west.
Of the majors are there, and it doesn't seem like any of the WGCs are there. So very surprising, the Barracuda's in Nevada, isn't it? So none west of Texas after just one round after this. So Florida, yeah, always interesting.
Yeah, I'm happy with that as well. And the players likely to be tested again this week, Mike, as they were at the Northern Trust at Riviera last week, because PGA National, the host course for the Honda Classic, it's hosted this championship since 2007, is a tough examination. It's a difficult golf course.
It is, Dave, yes. Yeah, good field again for this. We don't have Spieth, but we've got McIlroy, we've got Fowler, we've got Scott, Matsuyama. We've got some good players there, haven't we, really? So, yeah, it'd be a good test, and a different test to last week, you think?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I think the conditions look like they're going to be considerably more testing. I mean, in terms of the wind's going to be up. Well, it's been single digits the last three seasons, and I think it could be single digits again this season, given the weather forecast for the first couple of days in particular, where winds are expected to gust up to 25 miles an hour. And when the wind blows on this golf course, it is difficult. You've got the infamous bear trap, the run of holes from 15 to 17 that provide an immense amount of drama. And I always remember this championship in 2012, Dave, where McIlroy won by two and Tiger Woods shot that amazing 62 in the final round. And McIlroy's short game was just incredible in the down the closing stretch there to hold off the charging Tiger Woods.
Yeah, that was kind of a classic battle. You always think there should be more of those, don't you? Where there's the elite are fighting it out, and it rarely happens, does it? Unfortunately, obviously with Tiger off the course indefinitely, we're not going to see him anymore. But it would be fun to see like a McIlroy Fowler, wouldn't it, down the closing nine this week?
Not really.
Not when I'm not going to back him. No, I'm not backing them either.
If I was backing him, yeah. But
do you see anything as statistically significant this week, Mike, when you looked into this event?
Strokes tee to green is the stat I was looking at, Dave. Green's in red by another name, I suppose. That's the one that I focused on. I'm praying you don't need to be a good putter, because I've got two picks and a third one who's not a brilliant putter, and they're not the best putters, but I don't think it matters so much here. What do you think?
I kind of agree with you. I think it's interesting, the move from Poana to Bermuda, because a lot of players that have struggled on the West Coast could find their form back on the East Coast this week.
It's been in my thinking that, Dave, honestly.
I think that's crucial. And we've seen quite an eclectic mix of players up in the leaderboards in the past. We've had 10 editions of this tournament, the Honda Classic, played at PGA National, and only three American winners, which is a surprise.
And quite a few of those GB and Ireland winners as well. So, yeah, it's obvious why. And it does get very windy there. It's an exposed course. We've got open winners on that winner's roll call. It's a good, solid event, isn't it? You can never say putting never matters, can you? But I know what you're getting at.
Mm. How many picks have you got, Mike?
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying I hope it doesn't matter too much. You know, my guys are not great putters. I've got two under the third one for brackets. He's too big for me not to mention as a kind of pick. So two, let's say.
Right, like two and a half.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Dave?
I've got one and I suppose another half, but I think you're going to put him up anyway, so I'll let you do that.
All right,
I'll go first.
I'll let you lead us off, Mike.
Okay, well, I'm going first up for an American. Just on your stats there that they never win it. In fact, all my picks are American.
Well, both mine are Americans as well.
And mine.
I'm a bit worried. Oh, well, at least none of us are taking any notice of that. I'm going for Patrick Reed as my first pick. Good strokes, tee to green player, top 20 for that, and greens in reg, top five ball striker. Second for scrambling on tour as well at the moment this year, which could be important here. Good over par fours. Now, he's really low on the strokes gain putting stats. He's 124th, but I can't make head nor tail of this. He's first in the overall putting average and 25th on putting average, but he's 124th on strokes gain putting. I can't work that out. But he needs to put better anyway. I'd say, despite the latter two, the SGP one is the one I always look at myself.
Yeah.
So, seventh in this event last year. Didn't have a brilliant final round, actually. Shot 73, where a 70 would have got him in a playoff. But has been in great form over recent months. Had a little dip at the Career Builder Challenge and the Farmers, but back with a nice tied six at Pebble last time out. 20-1, each way gold.
I agree. I've gone with Patrick Reed as well. He's one of my two selections in this event. I can't really elaborate on anything that you've just said. Scrambling important. Second on that stat this year. Ball striking important. Fifth there. Return to Bermuda will help Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
because three of his four wins have come on Bermuda grass greens. The other win came in Hawaii, which I think augurs well because we know it can get windy. In Hawaii. And he can control his ball flight, Reed. And let's not forget, he traded odds on to win this championship, long odds on to win this championship last year.
Was he odds on, Dave?
Yeah,
he had a poor final round, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He shot three over in the final round. Yeah. And still late on in the piece, I think he was still a short price to win.
Yes,
and
he
went swimming on one of the par threes, either 15 or 17.
Can make amends this year, can't he?
Yeah, I think he will. I like him 20-1, Patrick Reed. Tipped him at Pebble Beach when he finished tied seventh, which was frustrating, but short game looked sharp, shot a couple of rounds of 65 in that event. If he puts it all together this week and the putting is on song, I think he's going to be tough to stop. So Patrick Reed, 20-1.
Don't do yourself a disservice.
Sixth at Pebble.
He missed out by the dreaded place.
Yeah. I knew I'd not won anyway, Mike. I knew he'd not finished in the top five.
No, you're not wrong.
So I'm liking Patrick Reed this week as well.
Go
20-1.
Yeah.
Go Pat.
Yeah.
Go Pat.
I'm happy you've got him on side. I think he's of the front six or seven in the betting. Yeah, he's probably the one I'd say. Yes.
The one you like most.
At the price. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My one, I think he's miles too big this week for what he's achieved in the game and how often he wins. Zach Johnson at 45-1. Said before, this event has been won by open winners, Ernie Els. Padraig Harrington won it for the second time last year. He, obviously, is our current open champion. And it's not like he won the open in a weird year where it was, you know, red hot. You know, it was a proper test, wasn't it? Fully windy. Battled away there. And I just think he's done enough early season to suggest he can win another big event fairly soon. He was tied ninth at the Sony, which he won before. And the Sony form does link well, doesn't it? Correlates well with this event.
Very well.
So he's a previous Sony winner who's played well at the Sony this year as well. He was tied 14th in Phoenix after a bit of a slow start. Shot 66, 269s to finish. Really good scrambling stats in those two events, top 10 in both, and greens in reg stats as well. I just think he's a player who wins a lot, is in good form, and should do well on this course. The only problem is, if you look at his form on the course, he's not really done it yet. Missed the cut last year, but then he's got a couple of finishes in the 30s in his only two other cracks. But I seem to remember backing him to win the Sony when it was similar. It was kind of, he felt, well, I can't think of a reason why he shouldn't play well here.
That's so, sometimes a good thing, I think, in terms of price, definitely.
Yeah, because if he'd had a fifth last year, he'd be way shorter, wouldn't he? But it's just because there's nothing obviously concrete down there. But he's only played the event three times. One of those was back in 2008. I just think if it's a tough course, I mean, he won the Masters with plus one, didn't he? So he can handle it when you've got to stick your jaw out and fight for par. So I just think that's too big a price, 45-1. That doesn't respect him.
Very good. Zach Johnson, Dave's selection, sole selection in this event.
Yep.
Mike?
My second pick, Dave was getting a bit emotional at the end there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Respecting him on that.
So good.
His lips were going.
I don't think he's happy with the way.
He's not happy, is he?
Zach Johnson's dissed on this.
I'll have a word with Mark Adzer, our compiler.
He's our open champion.
Respect the claret jug. Jason Duffner is my second pick, who is an equally dismissive 80-1 this week, despite winning what seems like only a couple of weeks ago when he won the Career Builder Challenge. He hasn't played that well since then, to be fair. He missed the cut in Phoenix and a very mid-divvy at both Pebble and the Northern Trust Open. But he's got some nice stats for this kind of challenge. His greens in regulation, his strokes, tee to green are good, does decent on par fours. And I just think it's a little bit, as you say with Zach Johnson, a little bit of an insult to this major winner to be 80-1 when he won only at the back end of January. So he's back in form this year, looking a lot better. He preceded that win in that event by finishing ninth in both the RSM and the Sony Open, that ever much mentioned Sony Open. So I just thought at that price he was worth a go. He is a little bit of a price play because, as we say, he's not played very well since the Career Builder. But a 17th here last year, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a rejuvenated Jason Duffner holding the trophy aloft on Sunday night.
Very good. Jason Duffin, I'm going with Webb Simpson as my second and final selection. It has been nipped in the betting, 80 to 1 into 70s, but I still think that's fair. And again, we've talked about the move from west to east. I think that will definitely be beneficial for Webb Simpson on the greens this week. And I've got kind of a dodgy putter here as well, because since the anchoring ban was enforced, his putting hasn't been brilliant. But last 2 weeks, he's actually gained strokes on the greens, which I think is good news for him. Ball striking's been brilliant recently. I finished tied 13th in Hawaii in the Sony Open. Then went on to finish tied 17th in the Korea Builder, tied 14th in Phoenix a few weeks ago as well. So he's had three straight top 20s, striking the ball brilliantly, and the putting is slowly but surely coming back as well. So I like Webb Simpson this week at 70 to 1 as my second selection.
I do like Webb Simpson. We've got a top 10 market, is that, I believe?
Yeah, I think so.
Double check his price in there, because he's moved from 80s to 70s in the outrights.
Yeah, Webb Simpson to finish in the top 10, 6 to 1.
Yeah, I might have a point on that, you know, just to kind of cover my stakes for the week, because I don't think he's quite there yet. I think the putter's just holding him back enough to put me off an each way. But I think he can get in amongst the top 10. I mean, he's been very close the last three times out, hasn't he? So he doesn't need a lot more to get in there. And hopefully that ball striking will count for more relatively on this course.
I think it will. I think that's something we mentioned at the top of the preview, isn't it? I think ball striking more important than putting this week.
I would say so here, yeah. Well, hopefully, anyway.
Your half a selection, then?
My half a selection is Patrick Rogers, who's 100 to 1.
Yeah.
He's third in the greens in regulation, fourth in the strokes tee to green stats. Good par fours again, the risk of repeating myself. Bit up and down at the moment, but good finishes in the Fries and in the Sanderson Farms and in the Shriners at the back end of last year. Then a 10th in the Mayakoba, a 17th in Phoenix, surrounded by a couple of missed cuts. He missed the cut last weekend in the Northern Trust and before that in the Farmers. So it's a little bit of a curate's egg at the moment, but definitely one of those players who could be well suited by the return to Florida. And if his putting improves, the rest of his game's in very good order. And he's a good prospect, this lad. But he does have to improve his putting generally. That's probably his Achilles heel at the moment. I just thought 100 to 1 looked big for him. I think he's a good prospect.
Yeah, I agree. 100 to 1, Patrick Rogers. I had a number of players that came close to making the cut. I do like this event from a betting perspective.
I almost like too many. It almost put me off that a little bit, you know. But I'm happy the ones I got.
Luke Donald. Just to start the ball rolling. The leaderboards, as we mentioned, have had an international flavour here in the past, and he's had top tens at this venue in four of his last five starts, Donald, including a runner-up spot back in 2008. There are signs that he's on the way back as well, only one missed cut on tour this season. Keeps finishing mid-division, Donald, but this is a good golf course for him, obviously, so I like the look of Luke Donald this week, and 55 to 1's maybe a shade short, but I didn't mind him.
No, I get that totally. I looked at a Scottish player, but more associated with America, Russell Knox, but he's short at 35s. But good course form.
Yeah, that's there for all to see, isn't it? That course form with that third and second.
And the price has followed, obviously. So when I looked at the price, I crossed him off pretty quickly. David Lingmuth is one of those that can come out of the blue and play well or win. He's 80 to 1, but.
I looked at the other two Swedes, actually.
Did you?
I looked at Jakobsen and Jonas Blixt. Yeah. They both scramble well, don't they?
Jakobsen I was going to mention, but on the other stats he's got some reasonable form here, and he's in very good form, so he was on my list, but probably just not got the right profile for the course, I think. So they'd be mine.
Any you want to mention?
Just
Dave?
Those two Swedes, Blixt and Jakobsen. I'll be interested to see how Phil Mickelson follows up his kind of botched final round at Pebble Beach. Just because he's obviously got some good form now, back to back.
What you mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago sticks in my mind, though. Does he want a real birdie fest now? Does he want a golf course where you can reel off loads of birdies and the mistakes aren't magnified?
Yeah, possibly, which obviously would mean this week isn't a good one, but I'll just be interested to see how he goes, because 20 to 1, it could be a decent price if he is you know, back and run into something near his best.
Just a couple I want to mention at massive prices here. Zach Blair, who finished third in that Sony Open, and this is more his sort of test, shorter golf course. He's been playing on some long golf courses recently. He's all of a sudden drifted out to 200-1, and wow. I was impressed with him at the Sony Open. Jamie Donaldson, who I think will relish conditions this week, and played okay last week, finished sixth here last year. And Jamie Donaldson, also a big price this week at 125-1. And said out to you in the office earlier on in the week, Mike, Jason Kokrak I liked last week.
Yeah, he did nothing wrong,
did he?
He played well, I thought.
And you look back through his profile as a whole in terms of his year-by-year careers, he tends to follow a good week with another good week and then go off the boil. So
he could have easily won if Bubba hadn't played so well.
Yeah.
Stating the obvious, I guess. Yeah. What about Rory McIlroy this week, chaps? 11-2.
Fair. He's won here and finished runner-up here when he could have won when Henley won that year.
Yeah.
It was disconcerting, wasn't it, seeing him put up a Sunday performance like he did last week?
Yeah, not quite as bad as Spieth Thursday, but not far off.
But I mean, he hit the front, didn't he, he was hit the front of the betting when he eagled the first hole, and you thought, oh, here we go. And just dropped off.
Yeah, not for me, probably, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him win at all, would you, let's be fair?
He does tend to... No, I wouldn't be surprised. He's different from Tiger Woods, and I know Jordan Spieth had that terrible round, but he's different from Jordan Spieth in the regard that you can see those guys continuing to battle, whereas if things start to go wrong for McIlroy, you always feel it can unravel quickly.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah,
he's still got the sort of Monty shoulder slump, head goes down, sort of dragging his feet when he walks look.
I think so a little bit.
Yeah.
I never get the fear. I think if he makes two or three bogeys and falls to what he thinks is out of contention,
yeah,
he can just think, oh, well, forget about this. Yeah. We'll wait for next week. But when he's on.
Yeah.
Do you not agree with that, Mike? No.
Not entirely, no. but interesting. I think his putting needs to improve, doesn't it? That's the thing that seems to be just up and down a bit at the moment, as we've said before. And I think that's what maybe gets him down a bit at the moment.
Yeah, if you've got a propensity for frustration and you keep hitting lovely shots and missing the putt, it sort of comes out, doesn't it?
That definitely happened last week, didn't it? I mean, he was completely misjudging not only line but pace as well.
Absolutely, yeah. The tricky greens there, to be fair to him as well, aren't they?
First time on the golf course last week.
Yeah, and they are tricky greens at Riviera. Good course, though. Good course. Matsuyama must go well this week, by the way, a recent winner. I think 18s he'd be one out of like at the top of the market if Patrick Reed wasn't playing. But it's a really good field.
Mm. Who's the player you don't want to win this week then, Mike?
The player I don't want to win, Dave, would be Johnny Walker. Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
His mate Johnny.
Jimmy Walker.
The DJ.
45-1, Jimmy Walker. I think Luke Donald would have to be the man if I'm not backing him that I don't want to win this week, Dave.
Jim Beam. No, Rich Beam. No. Probably Ricky Fowler. I think he'll go well this week. But 12-1 looks a bit skinny.
Yeah.
In theory,
Arthur Fowler.
From Robbie Fowler. Yeah. I think 12s is a bit... I don't know. But in theory...
We can't get him to pick a big prize for these.
No, I'd forgotten all about Arthur Fowler as well until you mentioned him. Yeah, I'd forgotten all about him.
Pinched all the Christmas money.
Fund.
Yeah.
Good stuff, chaps. Thank you very much for your company. Let's just quickly recap the selections.
I'm going Reed and Duffner, 1 point each way, the pair, and half a point each way, Patrick Rogers.
I'm going a point each way, Webb Simpson, 70-1, point each way, Patrick Reed, 20-1, and just half a point each way on Stephen Dartnell at 150s.
Yeah, so I'm going a point each way, Zach Johnson in the Honda, then I'll go 2 points each way, Louis Oosthuizen, and then I'll have a point 10-1, and then a point Webb Simpson top 10 at 6-1.
Very good. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, folks. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and enjoy the betting this week. We'll be back with more golf action next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.